Our Easter scripture today comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, and I'll be reading to you verses 1 through 12. Listen for the word of God. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly, two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you, while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified, and on the third day rise again." Then they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and to all the rest. Now, it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen cloths by themselves. Then he went home, amazed at what had happened. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
I thank our sister in Christ for reading those words of truth that can be trusted. Thank you, sweetheart. I don't say that to every liturgist. In fact, I say that to no other liturgist. So, would you join with me in prayer? Heavenly Father, thank you for the word. What more can we say except thank you for the truth, for the love that it conveys? It's in the name of our Savior that we pray. Amen. An author writes the following words: "My budget wouldn't allow too many long-distance calls, and there wasn't anything good on TV. I decided to go to the supermarket to pick up a half gallon of milk and perhaps buy a single long-stemmed rose to brighten the apartment and my mood. Sunday night was the best time to do this. That's when the produce manager would remove any flowers from past their prime from the refrigerator case and place them in a bucket of water on the counter and mark them down to just 25 cents each." You get the picture? "I worked my way carefully through that bucket that night, hoping to find the best one of the lot. The department manager saw me, and hurrying over to the counter, she asks, 'Are you going to buy some flowers?' When I said yes, she continued, 'How many are you going to buy?' On impulse, maybe to assure her and myself that I was a serious customer, I said, 2, even though that was double what I'd intended to spend. 'That'd be 50 cents, wouldn't it?' she said as she looked around. 'Tell you what, how would you like all the flowers for 50 cents? I didn't know what to say. I left that store with more than 6 dozen roses, almost as many carnations, daffodils, mums, other varieties, not just what was in the closeout bucket, but in a half dozen other pails hidden beneath the counter. Blossoms that looked too fresh and beautiful to be clearance priced. I got home, I had flowers for every room. I brought a bouquet to the elderly couple next door, shared them with co-workers the following day. I dried some to make some potpourri, and I was bursting to tell everyone of my extraordinary experience. I went out to buy one rose to cheer myself up. I returned with more flowers than I could count. The best I could hope for was that there would still be at least one half-decent flower in the sale bucket. If anyone had told me what might happen at the grocery store, it would have been too good to believe. Today's tale is not a tale. It is the reality. The reality of our lives. It is the reality of God at work in His creation, in His kingdom. Understand this, that in Christ's birth, God was incarnate, present in human form in the world in the most powerful way ever to be seen. And that also ushered in the kingdom of God here on earth. In the empty tomb, in the resurrection, we see God's kingdom becoming even more powerful. And yet, there are so many today that still wonder and still think, that's an impossible story to believe. Just like getting 6 dozen roses for 50 cents. Nah, never could happen. The story is dramatic in how we hear it once again this morning, isn't it? It was an incredible day, and yet those who woke up that day had no idea what was coming. To get up early dawn, in fact, I just talked to a sister in Christ, where is she, who told me that she got up 3 a.m. today. Wow. That was too early for sunrise service, actually, but I was glad she was there nonetheless. These folks were hitting it early that day. They found, once they got to the tomb, the stone rolled away, and they went in, okay? They had no idea what this rolled away stone meant. They went in, and they didn't find the body. There is a sign right there for them, a rolled away stone, a tomb open, and yet they missed it. Nothing to convict them over, or nothing to put them down about, but it is simply a reminder for us today that we miss signs of God's presence in our life as well. Sometimes it's very subtle. Sometimes it's dramatic. God, you see, is always giving us signs. The only question is if we're paying attention. When they went in, they saw two men in dazzling clothes. Dazzling. Anybody have a really dazzling outfit on today? A dazzling Easter bonnet. I'm seeing some of them out there. Thank you for wearing those. Looks good today. Dazzling, shining, bright, a darkened tomb. I think it would have been something that they would have been kind of having to avert their stare from, not even look into. This was becoming more and more of an unbelievable tale, wasn't it? They were terrified. They had no idea what was going on. They stepped into a situation in which they had no answer for. Anybody been there? Anybody get news recently in which you're not exactly sure what your response is going to be? Or any time in your life? They bowed their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, calmly, why are you looking for the living among the dead? That's a key phrase. They also say that he has been risen. And they also start trying to click in their memories to say, remember this teaching. Remember what he said to you whenever he was doing his earthly ministry. He had given you some instructions, and yet you've already forgotten. You're looking for the living among the dead. The church today cannot do the same thing. We are called to be channels of new life, no matter what our circumstances, because we know it is not the world that defines us. It is not news that we are given that defines us. It's not someone else that defines us. Who defines us? God. God is the one who reminds us that we belong to Him. God is the one who will always, always keep His promises to us. And God is the source of love and surprising grace. Not only amazing, but surprising grace that, yes, sometimes we're overwhelmed by and we're not sure how to answer. And we fall to our knees also and bow our heads because we don't know what else to do. And then we're reminded that God is doing a new thing. God does a new thing in our lives. God continues to breathe something new into our lives each day, each moment. How do we respond? We understand that there are others that heard about this amazing story, kind of an unbelievable tale. Well, what was their response? They ran to the tomb. No, I can't count on a bunch of women. That's not me saying that. I started getting very nervous up here just for a moment. I can't count on a bunch of women. I gotta see for myself. What do they know? And Peter, being Peter, stepping out of that boat. Yeah, me, Lord, really. And yet, eventually saying, Jesus who? Runs towards the tomb. And he's amazed. I guess they did know what they were talking about after all. It can be argued in this particular scripture passage that these women were the first evangelists of the risen Christ. In fact, as the story is told, they are. They're the ones who first bring the good news and proclaim it just by telling their story. Do you believe in the resurrection? Do you believe that it was done for you personally? My thought to offer you this morning is that if you don't believe it, try to live the next 30 days believing just a little bit, going against what you think is your better judgment. No, why would God, the God of the universe, the God of all creation, actually be thinking about me personally, actually be approaching me intimately, actually wanting a deeper relationship with me? Why would he do this for me? Think about that God. Think about that love and believe in the empty tomb and believe in the resurrection and just seek to believe it even more. Because you see, today is Easter Sunday, certainly, but tomorrow is Easter Monday. And then the next day, Easter Tuesday, Easter Wednesday, Easter Thursday. You're not going to get an Easter basket every morning. I just wanted to let you know. But each day is Easter if we live it. And we are Easter people, carrying with us an amazing but true tale of resurrection, of hope, of love. For us, this morning, the table also points to resurrection and hope and love. Because in the communion elements, which Jesus shared just a few days before the empty tomb, He offered an amazing but true story. This is not simply food and drink for your stomachs. This is my body and blood for you. That as you take this, you're receiving God's grace. You are literally tasting of God's goodness. The empty tomb, an amazing but true tale. The table of goodness before us. Amazing love. God loves you, not only today, but each and every day, more than you can imagine. And maybe that is the most amazing story of all.